Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another fabulous edition of...
Fingers on Buzzers.
Are you having an allergic reaction to something? It was breathy.
Very breathy.
It was breathy. We liked
it. I felt like I was in a comedy from like the 1940s there.
Yes.
Like I was in a rush. I was trying to deliver some news. Fingers on Buzzers is here.
It's disturbing is what it is. 1940s comedy. It's more like some sort of horror movie. Anyway, myself, Lucy Porter, Jenny Ryan and our producer, Amanda Redman, are here to deliver what I think is one of the funniest stories that we've had of being a contestant on a game show. It concerns Tipping Point, which we love.
Oh.
Ben Shepherd,
oh,
who we love. And Owen Visser, who is from a show called Mr. Thing, which we love.
We love it.
And I don't really have to set this up. Basically, he was on Tipping Point. It all went a bit wrong. He became an internet hate figure for a short amount of time and basically ended up being the butt of all his friends' jokes for a long, long while. Which
still to this day, when I see him in the street, he's getting nothing but jokes about this.
And we've all been there, haven't we, Jen, where you make a wrong answer in a quiz that then follows you for the... I had one which was something about how far away the moon was. It was some sort of space-related thing. And I was like, oh, it's always less than you think with space, isn't it? So is it like 6 miles? And everybody... Sure. That was like, oh, careful, the moon's very close tonight. Yeah, we've all had those.
How do you think a full moon occurs?
Yeah, it's just when it's only 6 miles away. It's about as far away as, you know, the end of my road. So we are going to hear about Owen's humiliation and his friend's delight. We're also going to have the second part of our listener quiz from the brilliant David Matthews. So we hope you enjoy this episode. What an exciting guest we have, Jenny. It is someone we actually already know, but in a different context. So this is someone who is part of the team behind our favourite quirky comedy chat show featuring puppets.
Yes. I'm trying to think of my top five, and yeah, it's definitely my top one.
There you go. It is, of course, the brilliant Mr. Thing, and one of the Mr. Thing team is also a keen quizzer, a quiz setter, but importantly for us, he has been part of the world of Ghosts and Riders, one of our very favourite shows. He's been on Tipping Point. It is the one, the only, Mr. Owen Visser. Hi, Owen.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm very excited. I'm nearly as nervous as I was when I was on Tipping Point.
Well, yeah. It was a classic appearance. I mean, should we go straight to your Tipping Point appearance?
Yeah,
I feel
sure.
we should sort of contextualise you a bit for the listener.
Yeah.
So on Tipping Point, you were introduced as Owen Visser, sound engineer.
Yeah, because that's my day job. Well, especially before the pandemic, I worked on musicals for 10 years. And then, but Tom, who's my sort of, as Adam Buxton would say, my comedy wife, we've done shows together for years. And then we came up with this show called Mr. Thing. And it was like a show and tell. And it was called Mist A Thing. It's very clever. And then we took it to Edinburgh. It kind of became a chat show. And then it just became more and more surreal, kind of Vic and Bob style. So we brought in a puppet and a house band and ping pong ball firing buttons. We had Lucy as a guest. And yes, I can't remember why I started talking about that. But
because I asked you.
Yes, so, there you are. That's how Mr. Thing happened. Yes, so that's the sound engineer part of me. And then my role in Mr. Thing is I'm like the co-host, the nerdy techie co-host, and I sit next to Tom firing video and audio and all kinds of weird stuff, really.
You create magic.
On stage nerd, I call myself.
Yeah. On stage magical nerd, yeah. Little tiny magical nerd. And we absolutely love Mr. Thing. And so how delighted were we when we heard that you had appeared on our favourite show? Like, our favourite things are Mr. Thing and Tipping Point.
Yeah. And Ben Shepherd.
This is where words
just
come
Ben Shepherd.
And Ben Shepherd, absolutely.
Sure.
And we should say for the listeners that Owen, tell them what you're wearing, Owen.
So, yes, this Tipping Point appearance happened, I think it was filmed in 2018, and it's still recurring, haven't lived it down, moment. And so I'm wearing a Ben Shepherd jumper.
Beautiful.
There's three pictures of him. One of him is him in some nice boxers.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe they're latex shorts, actually. Yeah. So it's
the many moods, yeah. And many legs.
And
it is
just as weird as it sounds, I think.
So, because your Tipping Point appearance was brilliant. And I think we should do, Jenny, should we do a sort of
play-by-play
playthrough?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll talk about the controversy that erupted, and then you can tell us about that. So, let's take you back to Tipping Point. We meet the contestants. We've got Pat, we've got Eleanor, we've got Alan, and in seat four, we've got Owen.
Lovely guys.
So what was your impressions of Pat, Eleanor, and Alan?
Well, this is the first thing I didn't know, is that I'd have to like share a cab with them. So firstly, on the way, you're having a really awkward cab journey, and you're outside Bristol Station, and you're trying to work out which of these people are the quizzes, you know. And I eyed up Pat straight away because she had mean eyes. No, Pat's lovely. I think she was from Blackpool or somewhere. But
she had the aspect of a quiz fan.
Yes, she did. And I sort of saw the four of us, and I was like, yeah, I think that's the quiz team, because everyone looked very awkward and waiting for a cab and looked like they didn't know Bristol at all. So yeah. But they were all lovely.
And who did you think was going to be your stiffest opponent?
Oh, I don't know. I had no idea what to expect about this whole thing, because I got stuck on a train in Peterborough for like 3 hours.
Oh, no.
And I was quite poor at the time, and I thought, one of my career goals was always just to go on Deal or No Deal, because I used to work with someone on a show and he was a stage manager, and he won like the big money on Deal or No Deal, and like basically bought a house. So I was like, oh, I should go on a quiz show, but I'd love quizzes, but I wouldn't say I am a quizzer. I like going to quizzes and watching them and having a beer at them. So I was like, what is kind of winnable? And I've noticed that Tipping Point, kind of someone always wins, right?
Yeah.
Because even if you are the best at the chase or the best at pointless, it's still so hard to win, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is very good tactical thinking.
Analysis.
Yeah, you're hopefully going to come away with something if you get to that final position. Had you studied the tactics?
Yes, I had. And also, like, again, until I did, I think I did apply to Deal or No Deal. And what people may not know who haven't applied to a quiz show is it is a long process. Like, the form is hardcore. So I was like, right, I've got these 3 hours to kill in Peterborough. I'll enter tipping point and that's it. Because you have to fit, and they ask you, and you should save it because most of them are quite similar. They ask you like a funny anecdote, and you obviously you can't think of anything. But I did that, yes. And I'd been watching Tipping Point quite a lot. But as soon as then I applied, and once I had been like shortlisted, because they rung me up and I did a quiz on the phone, which was quite, and then I was like, it seemed quite easy, the quiz on the phone, and then I was like, did I do too well? Do they want it to be hard, or did I think I did well? I don't know. Yes, so once I knew I was going on, then I was in practice mode. I was like, I was playing, I was actually at home with my girlfriend. I was playing Attention Bed on the speakers, and then she was asking me general knowledge questions just to help me with the.
That's a good way to warm up. Yeah,
yeah, because
not get
it's
distracted
tense.
By any sound. Yeah, yeah, you just tune into to the questions. That's great. That's a great
Absolutely.
Tactic.
Yeah, that didn't help me at all, by the way. But it still was.
So that's a great idea. I might underpin marital arguments with Attention Bed.
Very few things aren't enhanced by Attention Bed. Yeah.
So then the day arrives. You're in Bristol. You and the others are heading towards the studio. Should we dive in to the play action?
Yeah, I should say as well, before that, we got dropped off at the studio, and I think it's Bottle Yard or Bottleneck Studios or something in Bristol, and no one told us like where to go, and it's quite a big complex. And we saw a sign that said Tipping Point, so we walked, like the four of us walked into this room, and it must have been the room where they like wrote the questions or something, because we were whisked out of there, and there was all these people on computers. I didn't see anything, and they were obviously writing for future episodes, but yeah, we definitely went where we shouldn't have gone, I think.
Yikes. Ooh, so exciting. Yeah.
Yes, and then we found the right place, and then just before we went on as well, I met, this is another thing that if you haven't done a quiz show, I would have no idea about, the standby contestant.
Yes
I've been that standby contestant. Yeah. Yes, I have.
So and they're obviously like local I guess. And it felt like they wanted all of us to keel over, you know, because I don't know how often they're just waiting for the chance. I don't know.
Yes, well, I can't. I was standby contestant on something, and Lily Allen dropped out very close to the recording, and I was not prepared at all because I was like, oh yeah, you know, no one ever drops out of these things, and suddenly I was in a TV studio recording something that I was not quite prepared for. So that's a great look. We've never discussed the standby contestants. We should get one on.
Yeah. Yeah, there's got to be people who make sort of a semi-career of it. They're always the bridesmaid. Yeah. And have they ever poisoned a genuine contestant to get on?
That'd be a great, I'd watch that show.
Yeah.
Let's start off. I want to know, so Pat had a very strong opening.
I thought you were going to swing for her at one point because she was just getting in ahead of you. I will say this for you, Owen. You are extremely expressive. And yes. I felt that I was going on that journey with you from the very beginning. Every buzz, every drop, you felt every bit of it. And I felt it. Yeah. It was my empathic nature. I picked up on all of it. Thank you for that. Because I felt I was in the studio.
No problems. And it's such a weird thing. And obviously they must film like 3 or 4 episodes a day. And we were the last episode of the day. So there was a lot of waiting around. And then before you know it, you're in the studio. And they're like, yeah, cool, here you go. And it goes. And it was so weird. I sort of expected there to be a big intro, but you know, suddenly you're rolling and you're in the quiz. And I just was not ready at all. And I'm quite a slow reaction time anyway. But And so a lot. And then, but I found myself laughing all the time, like awkwardly. And then a lot of people online, which we'll get into that, the sort of online storm, sort of took that as me being quite smug. I was not smug. I was incredibly nervous.
Oh, but you were funny. And I could tell that Ben liked you. That,
yes.
From the word go, you could see that
he was having a lovely time with you.
Oh, good. Mm. Yeah, again, a lot of online comments about our chemistry.
Hey.
It's getting weirder with the jumper.
Well, it was like you were in a celebrity show. Everybody else was doing normal Tipping Point and you were doing celebrity Tipping Point, which was great. No, but in that you were sort of, you know, you had funny answers and you were doing sort of fun stuff. But I did... See, I thought you were deliberately holding back because I always think in Tipping Point, you don't want to storm ahead. Like, I mean, Pat looked incredible to start with and Alan looked great, but that's not the way, is it, Owen?
Well, that isn't. And I'd love to say that that was intentional. And from watching it, I was like, that's what I'll do. I'll leave it a bit and pass. But it's just all that, any sort of plan I had was, not that I have a plan, but anything was just, I was so nervous. I was nearly pressing the buzzer like by accident because it's such an unnatural environment for me. Even doing the show, Miss Thing, I am the onstage nerd. I'm not, I'm not a TV person. And you can't even see the cameras as well. They're all like hidden in the set. So you're like, am I even on a show? I don't even know what's going on.
It's just a big elaborate practical joke. But then you absolutely rallied. You got the question, which Disney film is known in French as La Petite Sirène?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I mean, little already is good, you know.
Yes.
And then...
But then you see, you followed that up by when he said, which drop zone do you want? You said, drop zone trois. And I was like, that is...
There we go.
That's a funny guy. That's a funny guy. He's running with the theme.
But then like 90% of people watching who went on Twitter straight away, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
who's
I don't know.
Who's this trois?
Yeah, exactly. Drop zone twat was the sorry number. Yeah.
But you went from strength to strength. I don't want to spoil it because obviously we will put the link up to the episode.
I didn't know that either. Oh gosh. Okay, great.
But we'll just do some highlights, so we're not spoiling it for anyone. You did astonishingly well. You saw Pat off in round one.
I did. I felt so bad about that as well.
She was lovely. She said she'd had a lovely day. Mm. So don't feel sorry for her. And then round two, you got five right answers.
Yes.
Extraordinary. And you won a Weber Genesis 2 gas barbecue.
Oh my gosh. And by that point, that was all... Because anyone who knows me, I'm quite obsessed with barbecuing anyway. And like, yeah, I love barbecues. And Webers, in fact. And when I won this Weber Genesis, that was it. I was happy. That was great.
I wasn't sure if you were taking the mic because those mystery prizes are notoriously rubbish.
Yes, exactly. So when
I thought it was
going to
be an archery lesson at Warwick Castle or something.
Exactly. So when it happened, I was like, oh, amazing. This is perfect. I live in a very small flat in East London with a balcony that's like half a meter wide. So as soon as I Googled it, I was like, that is not fitting in the balcony. And then so I was like, oh, I won't claim because I had a year to claim the prize. So I thought, oh, I'll wait until maybe we move somewhere else. And obviously it came to like Christmas Eve and I had to claim it by like New Year's Eve. I was like, I better claim that blooming barbecue. And because it was like out of season, they didn't have it in stock. So I got upgraded. So I didn't win the Weber 2. I won the Weber 3, whatever it is. It's honestly, Lucy and Jen, it's got Bluetooth. So you can monitor your meat remotely.
Amazing.
I'm not even
what's
lying.
It's witchcraft.
It's mad. It's got LED lighting, so you can barbecue in the dark. Anyway, but I didn't move.
Give up your kitchen. Take the kitchen out. You've just got a barbecue now.
That would have been so much better. especially, I was going to say, with it still runs on gas, doesn't it? It doesn't work. Mm. But I hadn't moved. So I was like to my mum and dad, can I please get this delivered to your garden? And then the next few days, I had this video from my mum of this like team of people. It literally was like forklifted off a truck. It was enormous. It was like one of those pallet trucks.
Amazing.
And it's still in my parents' garden to this day. But one day I'll have a garden.
Amazing. I mean, we should say, for the sake of balance, you did win another of the mystery prizes.
Mm. Which, yeah, that made up for it in shitness.
Yeah, it really did.
I notice you're wearing a hat now. Maybe you'd like to tell us the prize that you won.
Yes, the mystery prize was a hairdressing voucher, which, I think was some sort of hint, which I actually gave to my girlfriend LJ in the end. But, a lot of tweets were about my hair. I'll see if I can find any here. I don't know if we want to talk about the tweets now. Maybe we should go for the end for these, but...
We'll just quickly, I mean, so you, basically the highlights were you won the barbecue.
Yes.
You were in the head-to-head. You pulled some amazing answers out of the bag. The DB7.
Yeah.
DB7 Vantage was made by which British car company?
This is again, something that I had no idea from watching quizzes, because the amount of times I've watched things like Tipping Point and The Chase, whatever, and go, why are you saying this? And what are you doing? But like... In between every round, right, they take you backstage and it's like, in my mind, it was like Rocky. I can't remember. Like people are like putting makeup on you and talking you through the next bit of the game. And this lady was like, can you just, can you explain everything you're doing and just like slow it down and just, and so I just ended up saying, there was times where I knew the answer, but I was like explaining it because I thought that's what they wanted. And it just made me come across as a total idiot. And then once I left, I was like, oh my God, I said all these things. And then sometimes I did know the answer, but I was like, oh, I think I did this in school. Oh man, it was really stressful.
I thought it was great. Okay. You are so hard on yourself, but it is exactly what they want. And it was good because it was like, oh, well, I think Aston Martin is a, you know, because I was thinking, oh, Morgan, I'd got myself very confused. So, you know, absolutely no shame in that whatsoever.
Oh,
so
gosh.
We finally, you did get to the jackpot round. I mean, I'm just going to say, I'm sorry if that's spoiling it for anyone, but you did get to the jackpot round and you got in a plug for Mr. Thing.
I did. I tried my best. Obviously bigging up the fact that we go to Edinburgh every year.
Yes. So it'd been set up from very early on. What do you want to win the money for? Oh, it's for the Edinburgh Festival. The word Edinburgh kept coming up, didn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, we did need some money for the show. I didn't spend it on that, but I just thought seemed like when I filled in that form on the train, it seemed like a bit of more of an interesting thing, I guess, than like I wanted to go on holiday or whatever.
I want to buy a barbecue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which probably would have cost, honestly, that barbecue was probably worth about $2,000, the one I got.
Really?
Yeah, it's mad. And I was like, should I sell this? And then I was like, no, because there's no point ever in my life I'm going to spend $2,000 on a barbecue. So, and
it is solid. Ben Shepherd gave you that barbecue.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And have you barbecued on it much?
All the time. Yeah, yeah. I love barbecue. At Christmas, I did the turkey on it. Genuinely.
Oh, okay.
And it's great because you're monitoring it remotely. You could do it literally from the pub. I can slow cook the turkey and see how it is. I do a thing called Coke can chicken where you stick a Coke. Sorry if there's any vegetarians. Mm-hmm. You stick a Coke can up a chicken's bottom.
Chicken.
Yeah, very importantly. And the moisture then makes the chicken really, from the Coke, and it sort of absorbs into the chicken. It's very nice. Yeah. But yeah, love
cooking
a barbecue.
Hints and barbecue advice. You've got it all.
Yeah.
And you gave some brilliant answers, but now let's get to the point where it all went interesting.
It was one of those I had to put it on mute. I couldn't cope with the full multi-sensory moment. I had something had to give.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I get like that. I'm going to either leave the room or put this on mute. I can follow it.
Isn't that amazing?
I can see what's happening.
If you know someone's going to get an answer wrong, you can't bear
or,
it.
On the news or something, I'm like, I can't cope with this bit. No. Watching The Office, I used to turn off to put it on mute all the time. I've never watched a full episode of The UK Office without...
God, you really are an empath, aren't you?
I'm too cringy. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I was lapping it up. I turned it up. I was actually like, I want to hear this properly because the question you were asked was... Yeah. I loved it. Ben asked you, the main peak in Holyrood Park, Edinburgh, is called... Is it Arthur's Seat, Arthur's Table, or Arthur's Picnic Bench or something? Yeah.
Did he say Main Peak? Because in my mind, I heard centrepiece, and he said, like, centrepiece of Holyrood Park. And I thought of a statue immediately, and I was thinking of Prince's Street, and there's this big, like, statue of something on Prince's Street.
Walter Scott, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. And so, and I just, in my head then, in the heat of the moment, didn't class... Holyrood Park as what I thought it was. I thought it was like Prince's Street Gardens.
Okay.
So that was the first mistake.
Okay. I mean,
I think peak was in the question.
Yeah, it probably was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also, I mean, it was Arthur's something. It's like Arthur's... I mean, I'm not going to talk to you with it, Owen, but I mean, I'm just trying to recreate for the listener why people were slightly surprised and why Ben... was slightly surprised.
He was astonished.
Which answer did you give? Just remind us.
I said, I think the choices were, as you said, were Arthur's Seat, Arthur's Table, and Arthur's Bench. And I said, I've climbed Arthur's Seat. I've been to a chip van called Arthur's Eat. And I'm going to go Arthur's Table. Mm-hmm. And yes, that moment was... I'm not proud of that moment.
No.
So producer Amanda has just reminded me it was seat, table and plate. No, those were the three choices. Right, so you said Arthur's Table and the world went mad.
They did. And it wouldn't have been so bad if I hadn't talked about Edinburgh so much, which is one thing. And also if I hadn't have said the answer. I was like, I've climbed it. But by this point of the situation, I mean, the barbecue excitement was... you know, peak. I was already delirious. And I was
Had you won the haircut by this point?
Yeah, I'd won the haircut. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And so I was like, I've won, it doesn't matter. But also then, Right at the beginning of that, and because I actually was listening to the, I hadn't heard your Ben Shepherd episode before today, and so I was listening to it the other day, and he was talking about, you know, you guys were talking about how you should always go for three counters. I didn't do that. I think the first one was like a sports question. I know nothing about sports, so I was like one counter, and I'm pretty sure like Ben was like, did you mean two? And I was like, yes, two.
Well, you did very well, actually. You did go for two on football, and it was, what is the name of the Arsenal mascot? And you got that one right.
Yeah, it was like a non-football football question, so I think it was a good choice going for two on a particularly weak topic. Yeah.
Again, they cut out a lot of me. I made a stupid answer then where I was like, I think it's a dinosaur. So I'm going to go Gunnosaurus Rex, and then Ben was like, yeah, they're all dinosaurs.
There, Eric.
Oh, was it?
All,
oh, that was kept on. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what's in my... Every moment.
I can't remember what's in my head and what's not.
But, you know, you gave some really good answers. So when you recorded it...
Yeah.
And obviously Ben very jokingly went, oh, God, you said something like, oh, I'm furious with myself. And Ben went, I'm furious with you.
Yeah.
And then the episode came out... And you suffered something that Jenny has experienced. And in fact, I have as well, the Daily Express story.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I mean, yeah, there's a few facets to this. We watched the episode in the pub. So my girlfriend and a few family friends had set up a projector, and we all had we had Ben Shepherd cupcakes and some shepherd's pie.
Oh, that's lovely.
But none of my friends really knew what had happened. I didn't tell them that I'd won or anything. So, yeah, we watched it all in the pub, and... At that point, I was like, don't go on online because I don't want to know anything about this. But they did. And they didn't tell me anything about it. But they were like, yeah, don't go online. And that was where we left it. And then I think a few days later, do you know what? The weird thing is it then got repeated at the height of lockdown on the 30th of March. So I think these articles actually came up the second time it was on. So, I had to endure this twice. And the second time in lockdown, every single person in the country was watching Tipping Point.
How long was that then after the initial?
I think that was
showing?
2 years after. No,
oh.
No,
oh
must, no, sorry. I filmed it in 2018. I think it was shown in January 2019 and then repeated in March 2020. That was it.
So you'd had a year of just living your normal life thinking, well, that would work, I want some money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think we went to New York with the money. It was great.
Oh, and lovely.
Nice TV. I love it. Yes, it was over in my mind. Yeah. And then I had then a text from a friend of mine, and she sent me, I've actually got this screenshotted. She sent me, Apple News sends you the top stories of the day. And it's quite weirdly mixed with proper news, what I would call proper news, and then the Express or whatever. And I don't know why it always does that on my phone. Don't know if it does it anyone else's.
It does.
I didn't choose that. It just happens. So these were the top stories of the day. BBC News, coronavirus, police told to be consistent with lockdown approach. Sky News, coronavirus supports loophole, leaves workers without pay. News editors picks, what happened when my husband got sick with coronavirus? Overzealous police use coronavirus powers to charge shoppers for buying non-essential goods. And then Daily Mirror, Ben Shepherd rages at Tipping Point contestant after he gives stupid answer.
Oh.
So those were the top stories of the day. The global...
You were our only respite from coronavirus on that day.
We needed it.
Yeah. And the thumbnail is a picture of Ben next to a picture of me with my head in my hands. So my friend texted me that, and I was like, oh my God.
It's
so then I clicked
sweatshirt.
On it. Yeah. I clicked on it, and then it's just this whole Mirror article, as you guys have probably experienced. And then about 6 hours later, an Express one. But yeah, they really lure you in with the clickbait, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's constant creative. With the chase, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, almost every day there's a Bradley Walsh... rails against, and it was me when I did the celebrity chase. It was Bradley was furious with
storms
me.
Offsets. Yes. Oh yeah, whatever. Yeah.
What's been your favourite one that you've ever had, Jim?
Oh, I can't even. I just went onto my equivalent of Apple News and scrolled down. I didn't have to scroll far to find Daily Star, The Chase, Jenny Ryan's Life, Mystery Boyfriend, Off Screen Makeover, and Singing Talent.
Great.
Well, at least there's no sort of furiousness or rage.
Oh no, that's a non-specific one. There's always a specific one about the episode of the day. And at the moment, we're on repeats, and these are probably the third time round, and we're still Twitter storm as contestant looks terrible or something.
It's still
hottest contestant ever. Bradley Walsh. Which,
that must be Owen,
at Jenny Ryan for stupid mistake. Like, he didn't, though.
Well, talking of Twitter, I mean, this is where it goes next, isn't it? So you know, you've had tweets presumably the first time it went out. Is this a sort of constant thing?
Yeah, so obviously no one knew who I was, so I wasn't getting any direct any mentions, as you call it, on Twitter. So I was completely blissfully aware, and it was only when it was repeated that, when it was shown, I was like, oh, just show me the good ones, and they were like, not really any good ones. And I was like, okay, so the only way you can find these is if you search for my name and then hashtag tipping point. So I never would have come across these, but after the lockdown, and it seemed like the world had changed, I thought, right, I'm ready for this now.
No.
I wasn't ready.
No, you're never ready.
No. I did get a couple of nice tweets, which one of them was, Owen is deaf, my favourite tipping nice. Pointer of all time. And then I realised that's my friend Natalie.
Oh.
This one said, this was from Kirsty. She said, he has nice eyes. I'm a sucker for eyes. And then, go Owen. And then I realised that was actually
Kirsty
done
Walk.
2 months later. Aww. So that was a different Owen.
Oh.
But one person did say, someone find me Owen's details from today's tipping point. I need to marry him. And verified that was my episode.
Yay.
And I'm having that.
Yeah, marriage proposal on the first episode of a quiz show. I mean, that took me months.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So that's the positive ones.
Yeah.
I don't know... Amanda, producer, may cut these or bleep these. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Shut up, Owen. Two counter cockwomble. This Owen fellow is 100% either a serial killer or both. There's quite a lot of serial killer material, which I wasn't. I don't know. I mean, I think I might have come across as a bit of an idiot, but a serial killer?
That does seem strong, but there have been serial killers on game shows, so it's not unheard of.
That's true. Who, what's the story of that?
There was a guy
Bullseye killer.
Bullseye.
He killed a few people in Wales, wasn't it? In Pembrokeshire, was it?
Oh my God,
and then there was the dating game killer in the US. He was.
Imagine the Express articles.
Well, they did not that. They're not interested in that. They're just mild controversy and three people on Twitter saying that someone looks a certain way.
Serial killer
controversy.
I had a lady called middle-aged mum. She said, don't like to be personal, but what is the matter with Owen? And that one, I don't know why middle-aged mum got to me, but that really got to me.
Maybe she was genuinely concerned, but it does sound like she likes to be personal.
Yeah, not being personal, but it's the new...
It does, yeah. Oh, I don't like to be personal. Well,
yeah.
don't
I'm not being
it,
bitchy,
then.
But yeah, whatever you say, yeah.
Yeah, not trying to be mean, but yes, you are.
And I'm sure this is like compared to like what you get, Jenny, and you guys, like, this is this has never happened before and will never happen again, but like you click on these people and you see all the, they're just live tweeting every show. It's like they're tweeting the one show and all this, and they're just so angry.
There are a lot of angry people.
But of all the things, Tipping Point.
But that's the only outlet.
Tipping Point is so joyful, and you were so joyful on it. I just cannot imagine how anyone would look at that performance and not think, what a lovely man who has done very well. Middle-aged mum, was that the worst one? I don't know what's wrong with him.
Oh, gosh. The middle-aged mum sort of bracket did not... They didn't get... Well, actually, no, they're all sorts of people. But this lady called Sandra said, skinny jeans, not a good look, Owen. And I don't think Sandra's got very nice jeans either. I clicked on her profile. Owen looks more like a Drop Zone 2 boy. What is that?
That's such a burn.
That is a burn.
I hate that. Oh.
That's up there with two counter cockwomble. Yeah. Owen is making Pat seem less irritating.
Oh, Pat.
I love Pat.
Oh,
the
dear.
Thing about Pat was as well, you know, I said that we all got taxis together from the station. What I didn't know is once you've won, you have to share that taxi back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite an awkward journey. And I was like, you know, they were all absolutely lovely, but like you feel bad that you've won and they haven't,
you've
and
deprived
you've sort of
them
beaten them
of their caravan holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done.
So then I was like, maybe I should give Pat my haircut. And I was like debating it for like 20 minutes. And then I was like, she's going to think I'm dissing her hair. And then what do I do for Eleanor and Alan, the other guy? And like,
well, there was no way you're giving up the barbecue. Imagine if in a moment of weakness, you'd said, you can have the the barbecue. I mean, that would have been awful.
No.
Honestly, 10 minutes more in that cab, I would have given it all away.
I felt so really bad when I did House of Games. I didn't realise, because I won like four of the prizes. I won three. And poor AJ Adudu, who was brilliant, but she didn't win any. And I was talking to Angela Barnes about it. And she said, oh, yeah, well, of course, I gave away one of mine to somebody who hadn't won any. And I was like, oh, I'm such a horrible human being. It did not even enter my head. I was like, I'm all mine. I won them. They're mine.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. You want it fair and square. They should have just done better.
You know, ITV, I would have thought maybe we could have had four separate
but no. So that was the kind of the aftermath of it. How long did it take for it to die down?
Well, so the public, for, you know, fury was fairly small. That was a day, and then another day of the Express and the Mirror and whatever. But as far as my friends, that's never really gone away. As I was saying, I've got a Ben Shepherd t-shirt on. I've got this Christmas, I got a tourist style photo of Arthur's
beautiful.
Table. With me. It's actually, I don't know,
I'll show it
to the guys on Zoom. There's a little picture of me and Ben up there. Aww. Sort of, it's quite sort of Sound of Music-y. And it also says, a place you'll
amazing.
Never forget.
Will you take a photo of that so that we can share it with our listeners? That would be
absolutely. Yes, I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon, really. And now I'm doing a podcast. I'm doing Fingers on Buzzers, which I was just saying, this was the last thing I saw before the pandemic. Yeah. I came to see you guys at the Vaults, and it was quite a quiet show because most of us weren't brave enough. And I think it was Kate Walsh, and it was great. And ever since then. And the other day I was listening to Jackie Weaver. What a superstar. I can't believe I'm on the same podcast as The Weave.
Well, she'll probably have you on yours, on hers. I mean, you can do a little appearance on Jackie's. But she's still going with her podcast, isn't she, I think? So,
yes, it's terrific.
I didn't even know
Jackie Weaver has
one.
The authority.
Yeah.
But I did. Yeah. I heard the news the other day, though, that there was potentially she didn't have the authority.
She didn't have the full authority, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she didn't have the authority to kick anybody out of that meeting, but in her defense, she just put them in a waiting room and then took a vote of the other people. So yeah, it was a little bit, yeah,
it was
on the fence, and they spent a ridiculous amount of money investigating whether or not she had the authority. Which
haven't they changed? Yeah. They've changed the name of the council as well, haven't they?
Yeah, it's not Hanford Parish Council anymore. Out of shame.
Well, I think Jackie's story and yours, Owen, show that, you know, notoriety will follow you. You know, you make one little slip up, you know, you don't let some people in a meeting, or you say Arthur's table when you meant Arthur's seat, and it follows you for life.
Absolutely. And the thing is, as you know, with Tipping Point, like, you can take the money. So I was like, okay, it's fine. But those three counters from the Arthur's table incident could have been the jackpot. Yeah. I do think about that.
Well, what might have been, but we're delighted for what was, because it's been a very entertaining and informative conversation as well. I think we've learned a little bit more about the mechanics of Tipping Point. Did you get a Ben Shepherd hug, Owen?
Oh, the hug. I mean, that's one of those things as well. That's hyped up hug, isn't it? And it's definitely, I mean, he's just such a dreamboat, isn't he? He's dressed so well. I'm pretty sure he smelt amazing. Yeah. Like, you know, he's just, it's what you want from the Shepherd. And he probably filmed about 100 episodes that day, but he was, you know, lovely. Other things that I found were, you know, that you wouldn't see off the TV. When you see it without the sound effects of the counters, oh, it's very rickety.
Is it?
it's all like wooden, and it's, you know, and then, and another thing, and this might, I don't, you might have to cut this might be scandalous information. I always just assumed that when it drops, there's some sort of computer that counts the counters. No, it was just a guy with a white glove. Do you know this? So he comes in and counts the counters. So Ben will be like, 10 counters, and the guy comes in and he's like, eight. It's like,
oh,
eight
my
counters.
God. Why don't we see that? We'd love to see that.
Because I asked one of the, like, you know, the production team about it, and they said right at the beginning they had this really elaborate system that weighed the counters, and it just never worked. So they were just like, I'll just get Jeff to do it with this white glove. But it was the white glove I love, because obviously they don't want fingerprints on the shiny counters.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you are. That's back. That's behind the scenes knowledge. I don't even think Shepherd gave you that,
that's
did he?
Exclusive.
We love that. We absolutely love it. And can you tell us what the future holds for Mr. Thing? Obviously, the money you won is not going towards the new show, but will there be one?
Yes. I mean, I say it didn't go towards the show. It definitely went towards my living in Edinburgh and drinking and you know, eating and stuff. And the idea of the show is to kind of bring, like, really silly tech and high-end tech in a really silly way. And so we use, like, remote cameras. We'll green screen audience members into Netflix shows. We have a Facebook bottom. So if anyone who likes the show on Facebook is kind of a social network that probably no one uses anymore. But you like the show on Facebook, and that will fire a ping pong ball at our keyboard player's face. So it's very interactive. Yeah. And we did it on a cruise ship last year.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, they saw us in Edinburgh, and we did Ooh. Virgin Voyages.
Oh,
which
lovely.
Was really fun.
Very flash.
I don't know if you know the English Channel, but we just sailed back and forth on that.
We did a very similar thing recently, yep. actually. Yeah,
we did that. We did that.
What cruise line was it?
Princess. The Rivals. But yeah, I mean, it was amazing.
It'd be nice to go somewhere.
But it was that journey. It was turn right out of Portsmouth.
We probably passed each other.
Yeah. <round. laughs> You could have fired your ping pong balls across the bows.
I could have. Yeah. That wouldn't work on the ship because the Wi-Fi was terrible. So
I might actually buy a Ben Shepherd jumper like yours so that we can sit in the front row wearing it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, I have seldom enjoyed a listener quiz as much as I did David Matthews' multi-choice, put things in order thing that we started last time. And so we have two more questions left, Jem.
I'm excited. It feels like that nice delayed gratification I hear so much about.
Yeah, which
I know I'm not good at it. So to have a whole week hangover of just waiting.
Can you remember what the subjects were last time?
I remember I beat you by some margin, but
double.
I think it was quite fortunate because I'm not usually that good at these kind of things.
Well, let's see. It's very much like the opening round of Millionaire, isn't it? It's that sort of vibe. So if you didn't listen to last week's, then you could go back and listen to that. Or simply
how did you listen to it? What's wrong with you?
Probably.
Don't answer that question.
People have stuff going on, Jen. It's busy times and difficult for everybody. So
so diplomatic.
We love you, whatever. Just however you've arrived here, you're welcome. So we're going to have two questions and we have to put the things in order.
You do. Dave, you've absolutely outdone yourself with questions 4 and 5. Thank you so much for this. Question 1 for this episode, but as the quiz goes, question 4. There are 4 islands in the English Channel that have airports. List those islands in order of area from smallest to largest.
Oh, I was absolutely hoping this came up because I have been researching.
Is this area of landmass or is this population?
Area of landmass.
Thought as much.
Oh, God,
could you repeat the question for
I'd love to. So, there are 4 islands in the English Channel that have airports. List those islands in order of area from smallest to largest.
I hate this.
Oh, this is just... I mean, my geography is so appalling that I really don't... I mean, it's going to be like with the Olympic events where I'm just going to have to make up... is Brigadoon... Is that in the English Channel?
Write it down and let's find out.
Okay,
okay. Smallest to largest or largest to smallest?
Smallest to largest, please.
Okay, I'm going to go that, 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 and probably absolute nonsense.
Oh, like the Isles of Scilly, is that a thing? I can't name any of
clues.
Them. Is that, I mean, they're near France, aren't they? I can't, okay, Amanda's desperately trying to give me a hint and Jenny is not letting her do that. Oh gosh, this is so embarrassing. Well, like, because we've been to the Channel Islands, so...
That could be a clue. It could that be. Might be where some of them are.
I'm crossing out one of the fictional ones okay, so in its area of Mandarin, okay.
I will confess, I'm not very good at this geography either, so now I'm second guessing.
This is hard, isn't it? This is very hard.
Okay, well now, at least I feel like I've got a...
Some of these are definitely in the Channel for me.
Okay. For you.
Yeah. If I was to say, where's the Channel and is what sure. island's in the Channel?
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, right, I've made the best of it.
I think you know at least one for... two for definite.
Well, okay, yeah, I've got three.
Because we've been to one.
Yeah, I've got three.
And there's another which is a famous...
Yeah.
For Bergerac.
Yeah, I've got those two. Those are on my list. Shall I do my list first?
Because yes, please,
it's
Lucy.
Gonna be woeful. Right. Guernsey, I've put as number one. I've then gone Isle of Wight. And then I have gone Jersey. Because I don't think there's airports on the other Channel Islands, I don't know. And then for four, I've put Lilliput.
Okay, interesting.
That huge island.
The massive, the notoriously massive island.
Floating above it in the air.
The people
known
are small.
For being huge.
The people are small, but actually the island is deceptively large.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I've gone... See, I'm not really sure. So I put Tresco. Then I've gone Guernsey, Jersey... Isle of Wight, biggest.
Oh. Oh, you're so close, Jen.
Am I?
If you'd have put number one as Alderney.
Alderney! I brought it and crossed it out.
Oh,
look.
Mate.
I didn't think Alderney had an airport.
Me either.
What do I know?
Because wasn't the controversy with the ferry?
Yes, the Alderney ferry. Yes. When we were in Guernsey, I don't know if
why
it was made
need
it
that
into
ferry
the edit,
service.
But there was a ferry service.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, so Alderney one.
Alderney's number one at square kilometres. Guernsey is number two at 65 square kilometres. Mm-hmm. Jersey, 118 square kilometres. And then finally, the Isle of Wight at 384 square kilometres. Now, I, for one, didn't realise that the Isle of Wight had an airport. So why the hell am I faffing around on that ferry every time I go over, which seems to be quite a lot for some reason, but...
To save the planet?
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, as long as I'm doing that then.
Yeah. So, next question.
So this is a lot of fun. Really like this question. List the following in terms of their duration from shortest to longest. Giles Brander says longest after dinner speech for which he holds a Guinness World Record.
Oh, lovely.
The back-to-back running time of all eight Harry Potter movies. A performance of Wagner's Ring Cycle. And the longest ever tennis match in terms of on court between John Isner and Nicholas Mahut.
Yeah.
Wow, this is such a brilliant question.
This is really good. Shortest to longest.
And I mean, obviously, for comedy value, I'm going to put Giles Brander's speech as the longest because it certainly felt that way. Love you, Giles, if you're listening, obviously. Are there really eight Harry Potter movies? That's extraordinary. Oh, Wagner's Ring Cycle and the tennis match that was long. I mean, it was like a whole day, wasn't it? Went on into the night. Did it go to a second day? No, you can't do that.
I can't tell you.
Okay.
It's just in terms of court time, so it's not if they, like, you know, had to go to bed. I think they did have to go to bed.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Because I think it went dark because it was on an outside court, so it didn't have floodlights, so they had to go off court when it went dark.
Okay. Okay, I've got my order.
This is the kind of thing that I lose all sense of perspective on. I'm going to go... Okay. Shortest to longest.
Shall I start or shall Jen start?
Jenny start this time because she started last time.
Right.
So I will
undoubtedly have got this completely arse about it.
Okay.
I'm going Ring Cycle.
Interesting.
Tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Brandreth.
Yep.
Potter.
Wow. Well,
that's bold. It's a bold move.
It is bold, and it's completely different to mine. Because I have simply gone tennis match, Wagner, Harry Potter, Giles Brandreth. Because there's nothing that man's not capable of. I've done just a minute with him.
There isn't.
I mean, he could talk for days.
That's true, and I would listen for days.
Yeah.
So you're both wrong, but both very close. So number one is the tennis match, which was 11 hours and 5 minutes.
Oh, put 13 hours. I actually put little guesses.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Yeah. Oh, so what did you put for Giles' speech, which is number two?
Oh, right, 17 hours.
Oh, wow.
Because I put him three, so.
Well, yeah, 12 and a half hours.
Yep.
So okay. Well done, Giles.
Good on him.
And ring cycle is number three, and that's usually about 17 hours.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
depending if you pause for laughs.
True.
Yeah.
And then Harry Potter movies, 19 hours, 39 minutes.
I put 19 hours for Harry
lovely
Potter.
Stuff.
So I got one point for that. But no, you don't get a bonus point for getting the hours. But yeah, that was the only one I got in the right position.
And tennis match was the only one I got. So that's
well
one
done. All. So David Matthews also sent us a little Easter egg with a few more questions as well. Should we just do a quick fire round?
Yeah.
Lovely.
I just think shout your answers for this one, if that's all right.
Quick fire.
Fanny Price is the heroine of which 1814...
Mansfield Park.
Thank you.
I thought you said Fanny Bryce for a second. I got a bit confused. I was like, funny girl, surely.
Yeah, Fanny Bryce.
Yeah.
Okay, so this has been trending today, but I think for a different reason. Pegging and one for his knob are terms
cribbage.
Used in which game? Cribbage. Thank you very much,
Prince
Jenny.
Prince of Pegging. Oh. You know, when we're
this will mean
this.
Nothing when this
I
goes
wish
out.
I hadn't looked at that. Okay, fought in October 1939. The Battle of Knock was an early conflict in which major war?
Spanish Civil War?
39.
Oh. Second World War?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I thought that was meant to be harder than
All right.
Who stated that he didn't use Twitter because too many twits might make a twat? It says this guy. Oh. Sorry, bit of a clue there.
Gordon Ramsay? Is it someone who swears?
Somebody sweary, or is it Richard Madeley? I don't know. It just sounds like something
close?
You might say.
Is it close? Is it TV presenter?
No, it's David Cameron. But, you know, Richard Madeley and David Cameron kind of...
I can see where you're going.
Same energy.
Yeah.
Same energy, same wardrobe.
Yeah. And who
same
wouldn't...
Same wife? No.
David Cameron wishes.
Yeah.
Okay, final question from lovely David Matthews. What is the name of the glass byproduct where a metal such as iron has been smelted from its ore?
Say again, please, Amanda.
Oh, okay. What is the name of the glass-like byproduct where a metal such as iron has been smelted from its ore?
You're a glass-like byproduct.
Oh, I should know this.
Yeah, I feel like this
is something that you might say... To
slag.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say slag.
I love the fact that you might say, oh, that's what I say all the time. I never stop saying that.
And I'm going to swap slag for you glass byproduct, you.
Yeah. What a wonderful quiz. Thank you again to David Matthews. Well, there we are, done for another episode. And thank you to David Matthews for his lovely listener quiz. And thank you to Owen Visser for having suffered on our behalf.
Opened his soul to us there, didn't
yes.
he? And he shared his lowest moment. But also, it was like a tale of redemption, I feel.
I was probably most interested in what barbecue to get, to be honest. But...
oh, my God. I am looking forward to a good barbecue now.
Do pop round and I'll stick a bit of halloumi on for you. So thank you very much to all of the people involved in this week's episode, but most of all to you, the listener.
We love you.
And we'll see you next time on
Fingers on Buzzers.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz@fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet @fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.